Jordan, let's look at Jordan. Jordan has, oh my gosh, he's in a real room.
Yeah.
Oh my God, look at that. It looks nice. You have a background. You have pretty decent lighting.
That's yeah. Great. Well, I mean, they got to install this light above me, so.
Yeah. Okay. It's a work in progress. And
yeah.
All right, let's lay off Jordan. Jen, let's turn to you. What kind of knots you got going on your headphones?
Oh, well, let's see. A triple. I've been practicing my Girl Scout moves.
It actually looks pretty clean.
I know. I'm amazed. What happened?
That looks good. What kind of hat are you wearing here? What is this?
It's Allagash, but nobody dislikes Rob Todd.
Nobody Yeah. It's kind of like what I put, you know, Lone Star Beer stickers on my one wheel. Yeah, it's a local brand.
Yeah, everybody loves it.
Everybody loves Lone Star. Yeah, I'm talking like Paul Chai. But hey, it's a local brand. You know, you live here in San Antonio. Yeah, that's not how he talks, but.
Oh, I love it.
Biscuit, what do you think we should do? Why don't we start the podcast? Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to BeerNet Radio. This is our Wednesday Warehouse segment where we talk about the week's news. I'm here with Jen Litz, our director of content, and we have senior editor, Beer Business Daily, Jordan Driggers. So it's the one-year anniversary since the Dylan Mulvaney thing. You know, a couple of people have texted me and are like, well, aren't you covering the 1 year? Why? And I'm like, well, we kind of know what the share's going to do. I mean, there's no news until numbers come in anyway, and there's just no news. I mean, we can see what the trends are doing. And, you know, actually, like we reported last Friday, you know, the volume trends are still stubbornly down. It does look like they're at least gaining a little share relative to their peers. Mm-hmm. And, you know, you can see that chart that from Lester and FinTech, where you can see all of their volume trends compressed during the summer with Bud Light and Michelob Ultra coming down, mm-hmm. and Modelo and Molson Coors and Yingling going up. And they went through all the way until about November. And then they're starting to spread back out again with Michelob Ultra leading the way on top. And, you know, there's two ways to look at that. One way is that how I described it is that what happened in November, you got the UFC sponsorship, you got Dana White out there crowing about how great Anheuser-Busch is, you've got Donald Trump Jr. Pushing it. Then you've got Shane Gillis sponsorship. All of that happened during that period. However, another thing also happened during that period, and that was there was a fear of an upcoming strike. And so the contention is that the trade was loaded heavy. And, you know, I'm sure that is some of it, but I also don't think you can really load the retail trade that much. It's one thing for AB to load up their distributors. It's not as easy for the distributor to go to the retailer and say, hey, buy extra because we need you to, right?
Yeah.
So I'm thinking it's more toward, you know, the
stabilization.
Yeah, all the money they spent on football, you know, with Eli and Emmett, mm-hmm. and you know,
old Eli and Emmett.
I mean, Eli and Emmett, you can't go wrong.
First name basis.
Yeah, I mean, you don't need to say anymore. Right, those guys sell beer, right?
Yeah,
don't they?
Oh, yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah. I guess
it was Peyton, but yeah.
Oh, okay. Yeah,
same
Eli's
thing.
Not even old enough to drink, right?
Yeah. They need to get Eli.
Yeah.
He's in the works.
He's coming. So. Don't worry. He'll get his bag. Just hold your horses there, Eli.
Eli's with Corona.
Yeah.
What?
Eli was with Corona.
Oh, so he is old enough to drink.
Yeah.
Well, okay. That didn't, you know, it didn't stop Messi from signing deals with both AB and Mark Anthony, right? So maybe we'll get him still.
Why, is he underage too?
No, I'm just saying you can apparently work for every.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah. Snoop Dogg pioneered it as usual.
Yeah.
You know, Snoop's a pioneer in whatever he does.
Oh, of course.
You got to respect that.
That's right. Well, here's my, I've already said it. I think Mick Ultra is going to have a good summer. It's going to be undeniable. It's going to be literally everywhere, to your point of how much money they've spent. But we'll see. You know, Jordan covered the, some of the trends around St. Patrick's Day, and that was kind of interesting generally because it looked like one thing and then it looked like a different thing. And but then when you smooth over the 4 week period, it was a different thing still. So, you know, that kind of parlays here too. What do you think about that, Jay?
It was very interesting to see how many non St. Patrick's Day beer brands had a lift in, especially with AB. I mean, they finally got back down to like single digit declines. Michelob was growing pretty solid. Busch and the natural brand fam were also doing really well. So I think if those brands can get close to flat before they start going against these comps, that is going to be huge growth, you know, April, May. And then Bud Light, I don't know what the recovery looks like there. I think if they can just get the flat, that would be a win.
I think if they get to negative 10%, that would be good. I'm not even kidding. I think that's a win because but yeah, you're right. That's I honestly think Bud Light, there is no magic pill. It's going to be a slow slog. And as memories fade and it becomes less of a deal. But, you know, I mean, shit, people are still talking about the Coors strike in San Francisco in 1978, you know? I mean, it's just, you know, you find these old timers down on Haight-Ashbury go, I'll never drink a Coors Light. No. And I'm like, do you even drink anymore? What are you doing on the street crowing about it?
Nobody misses that guy.
Yeah. Nobody misses you, that guy.
Yeah. Nobody misses you, that guy. So this is a real quick before we move on. I was at a party this weekend, and this kid I went to high school with. Well, I didn't go to high school with him because I went to the all girls school, but you know the all guy corresponding school, Central. He's actually a GM at a restaurant in Baton Rouge now, and he was telling me what happened when all this happened a year ago. And he says they don't drink a ton of beer in his restaurant. It's mostly like cocktails and wine, but they do have some beer, so obviously they have Bud Light. And he says, like, right after that happened, a bunch of brass came in to his restaurant. I think it's, like, it's pretty well known in the area, but it's not a huge restaurant, right? But they came in. They obviously bought a ton of Bud Light. He says, who was it? Daniel Blake came to. Oh. And he was like, you know, fuck it. Oh, yeah, sorry. No, F it. I'm keeping Bud Light on. In fact, I'm putting more Bud Light on. Now, that's not every restaurant operator, but it was just interesting to hear that they went and visited a restaurant of this size. So yeah. I don't know if that goodwill is going to extend over a year later, but it was just interesting to me to hear that.
And their distributors especially. Mm-hmm. You know, I know that whole, like in this late spring and summer, it was full. All the GMs, all the principals, everybody's just out in the trade doing damage control.
Yeah, you know what? And I don't know if we talked about this, Jay, after SamCom, but that was one other thing that I don't think we were, that we didn't write about, though. We were hearing different wholesalers talk about, even now, you know, really hitting the on-trade hard, trying to get, you know, buying lots of Bud Lights and things like that. So that's another thing I think going on behind the scenes that we don't talk about as much. That's still going on, I think, a lot right now.
Yeah. I mean, it will be interesting to see what happens with shelf space. You know, there's a lot of people talking about how much space they'll lose. It's all estimates right now, but there are some people that I think are saying that the trends may not get much better, even with the easy comps, because they've lost a significant amount of space on the shelf. So I don't know. It'll be fascinating to see, because when those brands are that big, I mean, how much is a 10% loss? Like, is it noticeable to a consumer? I would assume that it's probably like those aluminum can SKUs and aluminum bottle SKUs, forgive me. You know, kind of things that were just taking up space on the shelf just to block other people out, you know.
You got to give the billboard effect.
Yeah, the billboard effect.
Honestly, if I were AB, I think this would be the perfect time to start just really auditing their wholesalers hard.
Funny you should mention.
Which brings us to our next subject. We haven't really written about this yet, but we are getting a lot of inbound from wholesalers saying that they're out of compliance, just full on out of compliance, mainly because they didn't fill out the correct surveys. And in some cases, they filled out the wrong surveys because they were told to. And then, you know, this is what we're hearing. We heard that they handed, AV apparently handed out hammers to their, some of their field employees to hammer their distributors. Now, I don't know if that's a metaphor or, but this is a rumor that, I keep hearing, you know, just, just call frequencies is the big thing, which, you know, means how many times you call on an account physically in a week. So we're, you know, we will report on it, but we need to kind of confirm some of this stuff. So, but we can say it on a podcast because nobody,
nobody listens.
Nobody. No. You know what? It's funny you say that. Hannah, like, did some digging and figured out like where we rank among others and our peers. There's apparently a service, and you know, we do pretty good. You know, we're right there. But our listenership is very different from our competitors. For instance, our listeners listen to. This is strange. Our listeners listen to NPR and Joe Rogan, other podcasts. And so I take that to mean that we have like a lot of young supplier execs, like at Constellation and AB that listen to NPR. And then we have our wholesalers in the South that listen to Joe Rogan.
Yeah. And that makes sense.
It's funny that it's a very different listener.
Yeah. I think that actually makes sense. Because,
we have our Gen Z correspondent on it looking.
That's awesome.
I mean, who cares? But I just thought it was interesting. Let me briefly, you know, what else is there to say about Monday's issue about the neo-prohibitionists in Europe? You know, the Illuminati. It just wrote itself, honestly. Yeah. I had so much fun writing that. I spent all weekend on it and researching. And I was like, this can't be true. And then I was like, God, it sounds like the Illuminati. Then I go and look at the certificate they give you when you join, and it has that eye in the triangle that's on the dollar bill, which everybody says that's is the crazy. Illuminati.
That's crazy.
Am I going taking crazy pills here?
Can you share a little more about Monday's issue? Obviously, I think the article from Felicity Carter kind of sparked it, but then where'd you take it from there?
So I went down the rabbit hole. First, I read Felicity's article, which if you haven't, it's really good. It's in Wine Business Monthly. You can find it at winebusiness.com. I think it's free. And she just took kind of laid out a lot of that. And I was fascinated. And then I, you know, started going through the links that she had. And then she had a different article about how they shut down that study that was supposed to prove once and for all if light drinking has carcinogenic effects, among other things. And they really shut that study down. And it's kind of shocking. And Movendi was a big part of it. And, you know, they just dragged this Harvard professor that was head of the study through the mud. And Felicity interviewed this guy. And he was just like, it's common to raise money for a study. I mean, it was $100 million. Nobody's going to fund that except for private companies.
Sure.
And he's like, we didn't take any input about how to, you know, what the results are the results. So it is unfortunate. And that kind of just pissed me off. Yeah. And that, you know, really nothing motivates me more than anger. Jordan, this is a lesson for you. It's like when I get a little bit irked, I'll stay up all night writing an article, and which is what I did. You know, it's in the United States, like I said, we're a little bit cushioned from kind of this nonsense. And listen, you know, reducing drinking is probably good for society, but definitely at the higher end of the drinking spectrum.
Right.
You know, I don't think we need to stop these, you know, accountants from having their two glasses of wine at dinner.
No, of course not. No. And I mean, it was such a great article because it's so timely. It's like pointing out the most obvious thing in the room that we've been ignoring because it's so omnipotent. It's the drunk elephant in the room, right? Why are people drinking less? Why are Gen Zers not drinking? Why is cannabis so, you know, why is THC adjacent stuff so prevalent these days, right? It all has to do with this, right? And wellness, but also the competing need for people to be social and relax, right? And so what serves that eternal human need? That's not going away. Is it going to be alcohol? Is it going to be cannabis? Is it going to be, you know, anti-anxiety meds, right? Like, it is the question of the day. Yeah. And it's not going to go away. So,
yeah. Well, I mean, like I said, I just typed in quotes, no safe level into my email box. And there was nothing before 2021.
Yeah.
And then there's, I mean, you can go do it. Y'all have access to my email. Just put, there's like 57 or emails that started on one day and then just kept going about every few days, you know? So it's definitely it's a strategy that they have, and they saw what it did for tobacco. And, but the problem is the science is clear on tobacco, you know, at your first cigarette, it's not great for you.
Right.
The research so far with alcohol is that a certain number of drinks a day improves cognition, Alzheimer's, it reduces heart stress, it reduces blood pressure. You know, these are things that are, and now it's a correlation. Mm-hmm. And I think what the WHO is saying that's not what causes it. This, those people who do that are richer maybe, and you know, but they can control for that. I'm getting worked up again. God damn, I might write another follow-up for next Monday.
My favorite part of the story was, you know, all the links you included. And then when you were talking about Movendi and their windowless conference rooms with the hospital light, and the link for the conference room strategizing the next plot against big alcohol, and like they're all just like sitting there like thinking about, okay.
Well, what's funny is it's an actual smoking picture. It's a picture of them. It's real. Like, I didn't make that up. It's a picture from their Instagram of them sitting in just the worst, most depressing conference room you can imagine. Like your gathering room at Rikers Island, Jordan, was a lot nicer.
Gathering room?
I mean, at least they're not wasting, money on wall art or anything. Oh, we know that. And that lighting? I mean, could they light it any worse? It's Jordan's lighting was better at his old house.
his old cell. No, but I have a question. So obviously wine has done a really good job of pushing the marketing narrative that wine specifically is good for you, right? And it's resveratrol or whatever, however you say it, and things that are specific to wine. Why has beer never bothered to do that? Why has beer never bothered to push like, hey, hops, they have like phytonutrients that are like antioxidants, and you know, it's a living beverage. It never bothered to do that. And I guess it's because it's the drink of the working man, and that's not what the working man cares about. But it's like,
I think you're right on that. But I think also, you know, legally you can't make any health claims
on the
wine. The wine industry was really good at letting others do that.
Right.
And the problem is the French paradox that started it all on 60 Minutes was all about wine. It never even mentioned beer, even though beer has equally good, all alcohol. I mean, it's the ethanol in it, mostly. And the wine industry could just point to that, you know, that morally safer. Well, it's a surprising. Look at what I'm eating. A bowl of pasta. How can I do it and not get a heart attack? Well, you know, a Chianti. So that was part of it. But what's interesting is that the wine industry, at least they think they have the most to lose, because they are the ones that are very active in opposing all this nonsense from WHO, from the WHO. They're like, if especially the European wine industry, they are all over this. You don't hear, there's like all the research I did, I didn't hear of any brewers or distillers doing anything. I could see why the distillers would.
Right. Because, they're like, well, we're.
Yeah. We just want to keep our heads down. We're barely legal anyway. So. The wine guys are in a fury. Yeah. And if you read some of the links that I put in there, or just go to Felicity's article, you can see the contempt. Mm-hmm. They are just. Yeah. It reminds me of Francis at the WSWA. Yeah, remember how pissed he was about cannabis?
He's so great.
And you know, they all remind me of Francis, but European. So they got that flair.
Oh, I'd like to see that. Yeah.
It's a written word on the page, but I imagine that they have flair, especially the French. You know, I can't believe
it's nice.
It's pseudoscience.
Pseudoscience, wee-wee.
Wee-wee.
If we want our own French paradox in beer, I think our answer lies with the people that live like 100 plus, because, you know, anyone that lives over 100, the question for them is, how do you do it? You know, that's always the question. Mm-hmm. And most of the time I feel like they say, well, I do this, and I drink a beer every day.
Yeah.
And we should latch on to those people while we're still around.
In San Antonio, at least once a week in the Express, they interview somebody like that. And I have a Pearl Light every night. Yeah. And I'm like, they haven't made Pearl Light in 20 years. So I don't know what.
I stockpiled it.
I don't know what.
I have a sip of it. Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, but that's the Blue Zones thing, right?
Yeah.
You know, and Craig said it was it is a Netflix documentary, but it way predates that. You know, this is demographic work that they've done around the world to people who live longer than everyone else. And part of their 9 things that they isolated is that they do drink very moderately with food and with friends. So, I mean, you know, you can have your science in a lab, or you can look at what people who actually live longer do. And there it is.
Right.
So,
or just people with good genes tend to drink a beer.
Sure.
I don't know.
Yeah.
I mean, look at us. Although, wait a minute.
Yeah,
Harry doesn't drink beer. He never did. But we drink some. No,
that's not true.
I'm kidding.
No, but look what it's done to me. I look like I'm 90. Don't do what I do. Do what I say.
Harry, look what it's done to me.
Beware, young ones. Take it
Harry,
from old Harry.
Is that a Montauk hat?
Yeah, it's Montauk.
It's the one Bill wears all the time. I see it all over the house. I'm like, get your damn Montauk hat out of my bed. Yeah. Put it away.
It's a good, it's my workout hat. I just worked. Yeah. Yeah. I've been working out.
Nice.
Yeah. I've just been hitting the gym, you know. I'm kind of in my cutting phase right now.
Do you take any sups?
You're cutting and sculpting right now?
Yeah, I'm cutting and sculpting. Yeah, I pretty much just follow whatever Sam Sulek does on YouTube.
Is that posts the liver
every
guy?
Single day. I watch it every day. He's a bodybuilder, Jen, he's like 19, and he just posts he's the most charming dumbass in the world.
Oh.
I mean, you kind of just fall in love with the guy because he's just like a dog, like a Labrador retriever. He's just really into working out, you know? All right.
Oh, God.
What else did we write about? Happy Dad.
Happy Thursday.
Happy Dad and Happy Thursday. There's a lot of drinks with happy in it, and I'm glad to hear that. But so what do you guys think about Happy Thursday? What, Jordan, you're the closest to that generation. What, were you going to be drinking it on a Sunday out?
No, I mean, I'm not into...
No. No, not me.
Sorry.
Not for me.
Sorry, Molson Coors. But, I mean, even I'm out of that demographic now, so it's not catering to me, but I'm also not into a bubble-free beverage. I would prefer something sparkling. So, I mean, that shows how old I am now, apparently.
You're not drinking Borgs. Borgs.
Borgs. Oh, Borgs, yeah. I know, I still have a Borg. But it was funny to see how laser-focused they were on this demographic. And, you know, they haven't done their own innovation in a while. Because at least for Beyond Beer, they've kind of leaned on Coke for everything. And I didn't think that they would go so narrow with... They talked about it at, you know, when they revealed it at their distributor meeting, but it was kind of reinforced when Jen and I talked to them earlier this week. It was talking about who do you expect to, what kind of drinkers do you expect to turn to this? And they're like, we're going after 21 to 26 year olds. Mm-hmm. And I don't think I've heard that a lot from companies. You know, there's kind of this lasso they throw around. One last thing I wanted to add on Happy Thursday, and I didn't include this because I didn't want to catch the wrath, but I think the last time they did a their own like flavor forward innovation was
I know
Two Hats.
Yes.
And that was going after like this same demographic, and it did not turn out that well. Yeah. So somebody, maybe it's Gavin, is just like, hey, we need these people. So we'll see what happens.
I will say that Happy Thursday is a much better name and proposition than Two Hats.
The packaging is a little better too. It was like playing cards on the on the can.
I remember their distributors were immediately like, no.
The whole playing cards, they were 10 years too late for that trend. You know, like, remember when everything had the ace of spades on it? Like, that was a thing.
Platinum? Was it one Bud Light Platinum? Or
no, it was Miller. It was Miller Platinum. There was a
Miller Fortune.
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
Yes. Yes. Make your own fortune. Miller Fortune.
The samples got sent to us in like that, you know, silver like briefcase that looks like it could also be like carrying a bomb, you know?
Yeah.
And had like plane chips and everything in it.
I still have
that
it.
Was a good
I'm
one.
Not even I still have it. It's in my under my coffee table in my living room. So yeah, I still got swag. I have not located the parakeet Jordan in a long time. We may have lost that in the last move, and I'm sorry to tell you that after you kept it alive for so long.
Jordan and I are like,
God damn it.
Ooh, yeah, it's going to stink.
All right. Listen, I'd love to sit here and just bullshit with you people all day long. But somebody has to take the checks to the bank. How?
You're like, so and
I'm going to do it on my one wheel just to make sure.
I have a preview, though. Tuesday, we have a bunch of people talking about THC beverages, you know, adjacencies, including a beer distributor in Cali, Ted Whitney, who, of course, is now with Reaxis and Hemp Beverage Alliance and used to be in the craft industry, and then Chris from Hohenstein's, again, in Minnesota, cool. Ground Zero. So that'll be really interesting considering everything that's going on right now. You know, you've got demand seemingly high for these types of products. It's kind of the Wild West. But then you've got like AGs telling Congress, hey, you got to reel this in. And then Friday, we have the Four Loko guys. So
cool.
Tune in. Yeah.
Love those Four Loko guys.
Sorry, Fusion Project guys.
Fusion Projects. Listen, that's the little engine. It's the Duracell bunny. You can't kill it. You can't shut it down. It's the American way. Love it. So we'll look forward to that, Jen. And thanks for being on BeerNet Radio, and we'll catch you next week.
All right.
Adios.
See ya.
See ya.
And perfecto.
Okay.
Wait, it's not stopping. Hold on.